So I'm really happy to be here and joining you today on this Sunday. I actually lived in Reston for about 6 years, from 1994 until 2000. So it's kind of fun to come back to this part of Northern Virginia. So Alexa Frazier is one of my, I suppose, classmates ahead of me by 2 years, but she graduated from Star King School for the Ministry, which, as you heard, I am now a seminarian. I am in my second year of that program. But I'd like to give you a little more information on myself. I am a former recovering Catholic, although I've been a Unitarian probably since I was at least 20. And I am also a recovering lawyer. So with that, it was in 2016 that I had enough. Not only of working in my Washington, D.C. law firm, but of practicing law. For years, I had been seeking a permanent position with a governmental agency, such as the EPA. Indeed, that was the whole point of my going to law school. I wanted to break into a public policy career. I had a bachelor's in geosciences. I had been an environmental consultant for over 8 years. I also had an MBA. And I thought, man, I could do a lot more with this. I could do a lot more to help save the environment if I were in a public policy position, helping write regulations, helping enforce regulations. I thought that was where the solution lied. And you know, I'm sure I would have excelled in a public policy career like that. But the hiring managers that I interviewed with apparently did not agree, at least not enough to offer me a position. And I interviewed with dozens upon dozens of federal agencies, and even interned at the EPA as a law intern. And the final straw came in June of 2016 when I interviewed for a position with NOAA. And that involved advising remediation managers on the legal aspects of restoring plots of land that NOAA had responsibility for. And I was one of three finalists for that position, and I had great hope that I would get it. But it was not to be. I got the news that I had not been selected just before I left for General Assembly in Columbus, Ohio that year. Well, of course, I was disappointed and I was frustrated. But at the time, I also had a strange sense of peace. It was like learning that a friend who had been suffering from a long-term illness had finally passed. So the news was not a shock. And I realized that I was watching the passing of a certain vision for my life, which was, as I said, to be literally an advocate for the earth. And there was peace. There was peace because I knew that I was finally going to let go of the suffering from all the rejection, repeatedly, getting so close and then being told, oh, you're great. You'll be great someplace else, not here, right? Oh, thanks, yeah, great. So now I thought, well, maybe it's time to go on and fulfill my true potential. Maybe I've been barking up the wrong trees for too long. Now, I don't regret getting a degree in geosciences. I don't regret being an environmental consultant. I don't regret going to law school and practicing law for 13 years. I learned so much from those experiences, and they really formed who I am today. But they weren't destinations. They were simply roads on the journey of my life. And as I walked through the exhibition hall at General Assembly, so if you guys have been to General Assembly, you know that they have a big hall where there are all kinds of exhibitors. I saw what my true destination was. For the previous 5 years in 2016, since I first preached at Towson Unitarian Universalist Church. A particular member of our congregation, Dr. Bill Reichel, had been encouraging me to go to seminary. Well, I dismissed the suggestion with excuses like I'm too old, I got too much student debt from law school. But when I was in that fluorescent lighted convention center in Columbus, all my excuses seemed to melt away. And I realized that the environmental degradation we face is fundamentally a moral and theological matter. And that all the regulation, all the science would ultimately not save the planet. I also began to think, you know, I considered a religious life when I was 13. I told you I was a recovering Catholic, right? So yeah, I was actually approached by the principal of my school, my grade school, and asked to come to their mother house because she said I had a calling. And I do remember asking my first grade teacher if I could be a priest. In fact, I loved religion class. You know, I've delighted for the last 45 years of my life at least in just thinking about these big philosophical, theological things. In my spare time, I like to read the Bible. Okay. And of course, I love to read, and of course, I love to write, and of course, as you'll find out, I love to talk. So in that convention hall, my vision became very clear. And I saw what Dr. Bill Reichel saw. But in entering Star King School for the Ministry in January 2017, I also had a very clear vision of the state of this nation and of the place of religion in the United States. So according to the Pew Forum for Religion and Public Life, the Association of Americans with Organized Religious Institutions is dropping and has been dropping consistently over the last decade. And in its 2014 national survey of religion in the United States, the Pew Forum concluded that nearly 23% of Americans surveyed claim to be spiritual, but not religious. And they're not affiliated with any religious institutions. That number is growing, particularly among the generation who came of age in the new millennium. Well, there are many reasons for this drop. It's part because of a changing culture that's accelerated by technology. And even as many of us stick to certain websites and social media, the proliferation of the internet and cell phones with cameras has allowed for a greater mixing of ideas and perspectives, not only around our nation, but around the world. And economics has also played a role. With our 24/7 global economy, more Americans work on the weekends. And even if they aren't working, many of our leisure activities are scheduled on Sundays. Unlike 50 years ago, when it was expected here in the United States, in every city, that people would be attending some sort of Christian church. So some of this falling away from churches was due to disillusionment with Christian churches, all the creeds and their strictures and their leaders and even the institutions themselves. And as non-creedal denominations, Unitarian Universalist congregations are the natural spiritual homes for people who feel harmed, who feel traumatized by creedal Christian faiths. And for a time, that was largely the case. But in the new millennium, even UU churches are shrinking and struggling with their message. And it's in this context that I'm entering the ministry. You know, one of the parting words of my boss at the law firm was, "Ministry? Well, you don't make much money in ministry." Aha, exactly. So I must admit, I have some trepidation, but I'm not without hope and a very supporting husband. Let's shout out to you, Barry. And indeed, I have a lot of hope for this faith. I believe that Unitarian Universalism could be a faith for the 21st century and beyond. But we have a lot of work to do before we can claim that title. Unitarian Universalism has been called a faith of deeds, not creeds. And I think that's very, very true. UUs are not bound by strict doctrines and dogma. We're not limited to adhering to the teachings of one sacred text or spiritual teacher. And that gives our tradition, our faith tradition, much power and freedom to change and adapt to meet the spiritual needs of an ever-changing world. For I believe the law of creation is change, and the arc of life is diversity. That's the geologist speaking, by the way. Or as Reverend Christine Robinson, the author of Our Chalice Lighting, said in her Men's lecture in 2011, change is the very heart of reality, and the meaning of your life is to go with that flow into the future. But our greatest strength as a denomination is also our greatest challenge. Without a set creed, UU identity can be vague and easily defined by our would-be detractors. And these labels tend to stick like Velcro. For those who might join us, we lose credibility if we cannot articulate a concise description of who we are as a faith. That's the so-called elevator speech, right? Moreover, without a set creed, we are prone to lose focus as a whole and to fracture into smaller groups working independently of each other, which does not empower our already small denomination. Now, I'm not suggesting that Unitarian Universalism turn away from its longtime reputation as a free-thinking faith and embrace a set creed. Believe me, as a Catholic, recovering Catholic, that is, I understand the fear that many UUs have of an authoritarian institution that metes out judgment and sanctifies rejection. That fear isn't just a phenomenon of this past century. It is at the core of UU culture, history, and theology. And yes, UUs do have a theology, which leads me to the main point of this sermon. Unitarian Universalism is not an alternative to religion, as Reverend Robinson put it. It is a religion, a faith tradition in its own right. Not only do we have the right to define ourselves as a faith, I believe we have a duty to do so to ourselves, to our larger country, to the planet. Now, more than ever, I believe this country, if not world, needs an alternative to creedal Christian faith traditions and other creedal traditions. But we, as UUs, can't be that alternative faith if we don't embrace religion. Embrace that word, religion. In the last century, both Unitarians and Universalists ran from religion, particularly after the atrocities of World War II and witnessing the complicity of Christian leaders in the Holocaust. Many Unitarian ministers and leaders adopted the religious humanism of ministers John Dietrich and Curtis Rees as their primary philosophy in the early part of last century. They put their faith in humans, rather the goodness that is in humans, instead of in an omniscient and an omnipotent God. And while this veering towards humanism was a natural development in our faith tradition, it did have the effect of distancing UUs from their roots in Christianity. After World War II, many UUs broke away completely from Christianity and began to conflate religious humanism with secular humanism. I understand why they did this, but I also think it was a mistake, because in so doing, UUs left the table of Christology, which allowed certain Protestant Christian voices to dominate the conversation over Jesus and the meaning of his ministry. And this cutoff has led many UUs today to forget that both the Unitarian and Universalist denominations began as Christian sects. In fact, As Unitarian minister Henry Whitney Bellows said in his seminal tract in the 19th century, The Suspense of Faith, a discourse on the state of the church, you use our Protestants of the Protestants. Yeah. You see, Unitarians originally rejected the Trinity and the Calvinist doctrine of human depravity, original sin. They viewed humans as good, being in the image of God. And on the other hand, Universalists rejected the doctrines of original sin and eternal damnation. They believed that God loved us and would save all of us. Or, as Unitarian minister and the namesake of my divinity school, Thomas Starr King, put it, Unitarians believe we are too good to be damned, and Universalists believe that God is too good to damn us. That's a good elevator speech, by the way. So both denominations evolved over time, but certain beliefs have remained firm through the centuries, namely, that humans are essentially good and have inherent worth and dignity. First principle, right? And that we have a duty to create heaven here on earth. And that Jesus, even if he was not God, even if he was not divine, was an exemplar of how to do that. Now you might ask, Karen, didn't you just say that Unitarian Universalism is a non-creedal faith? And yes, I did say that, but being a non-creedal faith does not mean we are without shared beliefs. It simply means that we do not require members of our congregations to profess certain beliefs about a deity or an afterlife. In practice, however, we do ask our members to explore these questions in their responsible search for truth and meaning, which is our fourth principle. And we do promote the belief in the inherent worth and dignity of all beings, our first principle. So if a person believes that men are superior to women, and/or that people of European descent are superior to people of African or Asian or South American descent, that person probably would not be comfortable in a UU congregation. And we as UUs have to be okay with that. We can't be everything for everybody. And when we try, we end up being nothing for nobody. To be absolutely clear, I'm not suggesting that we ostracize such people that might show up in our congregations. In fact, those are perfect opportunities to demonstrate our belief in the inherent worth and dignity of all people by practicing radical hospitality. Now, I acknowledge that there are people in the millennial and previous generations who are purely secularists with no interest in religion. However, the Pew study I mentioned earlier indicates that these people are in the clear minority. And among the 23% of the unchurched, or the none-aboves, or the nuns for short, the majority appear to still have and value spirituality. Their spirituality simply does not depend on a specific creed or beliefs regarding a deity, the nature of humanity or creation, a soul or an afterlife. For them, a person can be moral and not necessarily believe in a deity at all. Yet these people, some of whom were not raised in any faith at this point, are still interested in connecting with others and exploring their spiritual sides. They are not interested in hearing hateful and hypocritical messages, but they are interested in hearing messages of hope and exploring ideas that help them make sense of their lives and find meaning in it. Helpful and hopeful. Well, that's what both Unitarian and Universalist ministers have been preaching for well over 200 years. Or as Minister John Murray said to a Universalist in the 18th century, give the people something of your new vision. You may possess a small life, but uncover it. Let it shine. Use it in order to bring more light and understanding to the hearts and minds of men and women. Give them not hell, but hope and courage. Preach the kindness an everlasting love of God. Now more than ever, I believe people, indeed everywhere, are crying out for a new vision. As our UUA president, Susan Frederick Gray, said, this is no time for a casual faith. And I agree wholeheartedly and would add that this is the time for Unitarian Universalism. Because we are not bound to a certain doctrines or dogmas. But it is no time for UUs to get lost in bickering amongst ourselves over semantics. And it's no time to remain silent for fear of not pleasing would-be, maybe wealthy donors. We must be willing to take a position that offers a different viewpoint on many things, including Jesus' life, and offer a different definition of faith as being a way of life rather than a set of beliefs. Because of our Christian heritage, we can take a cue from Jesus on how to do that. After all, the historical Jesus was executed as a political dissident by the ancient Roman Empire because he preached a message of resistance to the economic and political powers of his time. And many of his teachings are not only relevant today, but align with our UU principles. For instance, he rejected materialism and the concept that the wealthy were more moral than the poor when he said, it is easier for a camel to pass through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God, Matthew 19:24. And he also promoted social justice, care of others, and compassion, even for one's enemies, when he said that those who fed the hungry, quenched the thirsty, welcomed the stranger, clothed the naked, and comforted the ill and imprisoned would inherit the kingdom of God, Matthew 25:34-40. Well, I think these messages are very fitting for a UU congregation. And we, as UUs, should not be afraid to talk about Jesus' teachings among the teachings of many other spiritual leaders. In fact, it may help us to build bridges with our Christian siblings as we work together on issues of social justice. Because, you know, we're too small as a denomination. We cannot alone achieve social justice. We need to work with others of different faiths. And we can't do that if we do not welcome and are not accepting of those who follow Jesus as the Christ. And as my chaplaincy work of the last three works is already, of the last 3 weeks, that is already teaching me, we must be willing to speak the language of reference, of reverence. So my vision for UU congregations is that they are shining exemplars of anti-oppressive, intentional communities that provide members the opportunity to practice faith through right relationship. That they be places where members develop their collaborative leadership skills, which they can carry out into the world. My vision for UU religious education is that it provide instruction on how to live out the UU principles in every aspect of our lives. And my vision for my ministry is to act as a coach, a facilitator, and cheerleader to religious lay leaders. My vision for UU worship services and programs is that they provide not only the opportunity for face-to-face social connection among a diverse group of people, but they provide that hope and inspiration to keep working for justice and peace during the regular work week. Now, this may involve changing how our congregations govern themselves. And it may mean changing the format of worship services, adding more prayer, meditation, theistic language, using more contemporary music, and incorporating multimedia. And it may mean, heaven forbid, shortening the sermons. Don't worry, I'm almost done. But this is all in keeping with our liberal religious tradition. And I don't think our spiritual ancestors would be in the least bit offended. Unitarian minister and leader of the Transcendentalist movement, Theodore Parker, said it best in the 1850s, I think. Be ours a religion which, like sunshine, goes everywhere. Its temple, all space. Its shrine, the good heart. Its creed, all truth. Its ritual, works of love. Its profession of faith, divine living. I pray that you all find joy in this time of transition as you continue to work towards being a religious community that spreads our faith like sunshine, even on a cloudy day, and wish you bright blessings for the future.